I'm not using the usual passage, which is Romans chapter 12, for this talk, but I'm going to 1 Corinthians 3, which Dave gave me some time ago. And it's more or less a parallel passage, but it looks at things slightly differently. But this is essentially about building carefully. How can I make the best of the rest of my life? Do you want to make the best of the rest of your life? Yeah, some of us have had stuff that we're quite ashamed of. I want to make the best of the rest of my life. I probably haven't got as much life left as some of you lot, but who knows? I want to make the best of the rest of my life. I don't want to waste my life. I'm retired now. I could easily sit back in a chair, get lazy and fat, and waste the rest of my life. I'd look really, really ugly fat, wouldn't I? I don't know. Now, in this passage, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about leaders. But the same principle applies to each one of us as applies to these leaders. Okay? And some of the later people in the church were saying, I prefer Dave. I prefer Jeff. I really like Vic. And Paul is addressing this problem, and he says, listen, that isn't the important thing. The important thing is whoever's doing whatever, that they are building carefully, building wisely. Jesus talked about people building. He says, hey, you're going to build on rock, or are you going to build on sand? We think, daft to build on sand, unless you're on the beach and you think, well, it's okay, it's only going to last until the tide comes in. But here he is. So we're looking at this passage in 1 Corinthians, and it's on page 1146 of our Bibles, church Bibles, and it starts like this. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. And someone else is building on it. My neighbor next door is building an extension. The first thing he had to do was to get the blokes to put in the foundation. Dave has got problems because his house wasn't built with proper foundations. It's okay, it lasted, and now he's got trouble, and he's paying for the trouble. Yeah, it wasn't his making. They didn't put in proper foundations, and now the place has got to be worked on. All the front rendering has come off, and he's had to put new stuff on. He's had to work on it. Yeah, it's costing him an arm and a leg. So if you see him walking around or hopping around, that's because it's expensive. It wasn't done properly in the first place. And Paul is saying, he's saying, look, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. And then he goes on, but each of one should be careful how he builds. I saw a film years ago. It was probably one of the first films I saw with Alison, and it was about a house of your own. And this is a nice new house that was built. Some of you probably have never ever seen it, but it was about a nice new house, and these people, they move into this new house, and they go in and they turn on the bath tap, and out comes the gas. They go and make a telephone call, and out comes some water. Hey, that's silly, isn't it? But that's what the film... Hey, listen, be careful how you build. You don't want to have an electrical problem and then the plumber turns up. That's no good to you at all. We need the right people. And he says, but each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. So he's saying, listen, people, listen, listen, listen. What you build is going to be tested. What you build is going to be tested. Do you understand that? It's going to be tested. And it's going to be tested, he says, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. My sermon this morning is going to be tested by God. When I stand before him, he will say, hey, on that day when you this is the test. Let's put it in the fire. Is it any good? It will be tested. Do you know, what you do is going to be tested. Now, like it or not, some of us like carrots better than the stick. Do you know, I like carrots better than the stick. But I thank God for my dad who used the stick on me. Yeah? The Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. He didn't spoil me. He loved me. Do you know that we cannot live without a stick as well as a carrot? I know that it's nice to be a great citizen and drive beautifully, not upsetting other people. But I also know that if I go over the speed limit, or if I use my telephone while I'm driving, I'm likely to get a stick. And the stick helps me. You might think, well, yeah, okay, Vic, that's you. You need a stick. Yes, I do need a stick. I suggest that probably you need a stick too. Because that is how God works on us. He says, look, come on, we can do it this way. But if you don't, and there is always a but if you don't. And here he's saying, listen, be careful how you build. Are you going to build with quality, or are you going to build with rubbish? Dave's house was built on rubbish. Yeah, not on quality. Now they've got to try and put the quality in before it falls down. It's important, isn't it? Listen, be careful how you build. Be careful how you build. That's what this message is about. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. I'm looking forward to getting a reward when I get to heaven. God saying, Vic, well done. That's what you want, isn't it? When you get to heaven, you want to hear, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what you want, isn't it? Yeah, come on. That's what we want.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah? So let's be careful how we build. And it says, if it is burnt up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only one as escaping through the flames. So we have a warning from Paul about how we build. So how are we building? The first thing I want to share with you, three things this morning. One, what is my foundation? Two, why should I build carefully? And three, how should I build carefully? So first of all, what is my foundation? Paul said, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and that is Jesus Christ. verses 10 and 11, it says, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, Jesus Christ. You see, he had gone to them and he had explained about Jesus. He had explained that Jesus died instead of them. Jesus died instead of you. Do you know that Jesus has paid the penalty? Will you accept the gift? He says, listen, I have paid everything for you. He has explained to them about the cross. He's explained to them about the cross. He says, Jesus died on a cross for you, just as he died on a cross for me. He died on a cross. It was awful. It's been the most awful thing in the whole of world history, Jesus's crucifixion. But it's also been the most glorious thing. He died for you and me. He died for you and me. He said, look, this is the foundation. Sometimes we try and build on all sorts of other foundations and think, oh, well, I go to church regularly. God will accept me. No, he won't. He will only accept you on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. You may think, I know the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's my next door neighbour. He likes me, I like him. That doesn't entitle you to get in. You may think, I know the Pope. Good guy. But that doesn't entitle you to get in. The foundation is Jesus Christ. The foundation is the cross. Now, you may never have done this. You may not realize you've done this. But have you ever knelt at the cross? Have you ever knelt at the cross and said, oh God, have mercy on me, miserable sinner that I am. God, have mercy. God, would you have mercy on me? Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I hand over the control of my life to you. Have you ever done that? You may have done it. You may not remember that you've done it. Listen, can I plead with you that if you don't know whether you've done it or can't remember whether you've done it, it's like, you know, going to the shops and saying, getting back from the shops and thinking, did I remember to get the milk? Did I remember to get the milk? Listen, if you're worried whether you've got the milk or not, you don't just sit in your chair. You go to the fridge, open the fridge and say, oh yeah, I did remember to get the milk. Or, hey, did I remember to pack my snorkel? I'm going on holiday. Hey, it's going to be really good. Did I remember to pack my flippers and snorkel? Did I remember? And you think, well, in the morning, perhaps I'll check. No, no, no. Get up out of bed and go and look at your bag and see, have you done it? Do it while it's in your mind. Because you might get on holiday and find, I forgot my snorkel. Now, that isn't desperate. But it is desperate if you've never knelt before Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if you've never, ever knelt before Jesus, you can come and do it this morning and kneel before him. You may think, well, I've been a Christian all my life. If you've never knelt before Jesus, can I encourage you? Make sure today that you've handed it over to Jesus and said to Jesus, you have paid my penalty. Thank you. Don't be in any doubt about it. I plead with you. Don't be in any doubt about it. And I would, if you do that today, I would encourage you to, in the front of your Bible, put today's date and write down, I knelt before Jesus today, and sign it. Because if you've not never done it, it's desperate. Don't think, oh well, I hope I bought the milk, I hope I packed my flippers. No, go and check. And if you're not sure, kneel before God and say, Lord God, I need you. I need you. Do you know, we're going to sing later, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Listen, don't build on anything else but Jesus' blood and righteousness. Don't build on what you think you know. Build on Jesus. St. Paul was saying to these people, take care how you build. I built a good foundation. The foundation is about Jesus. If you've never done it, I said to someone earlier this morning, I said, have you got a cross in your room? Because he said, I've taken my eyes off Jesus a bit. I said, have you got a cross in your house? I said, get a cross and put it in your house. It'll help you remember. We're not worshipping the cross. Okay? We're not worshipping the cross. We are putting something in place that helps us to think, hey, it's Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Not about me. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn, and in the hymn he puts these two lines. My chains fell off, Jane. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains. Listen, when you do that sort of thing, you will know. Charles Wesley knew his chains had fallen off. Apparently he was sick at the time and he was struggling, and he committed his life again to Jesus. He'd done it before, but he said, here you are, Jesus. And then he wrote this hymn. My chains fell off, my heart was free. It happens. It's something that actually happens. You know the joy of God. So that's, first of all, what is your foundation? And the second thing is, why should I build carefully? Why should I? And the first bit there is, I'm going to build carefully to please God. I'm going to build carefully to please God. Do you know, he is so, so amazing. I just want to please him. Does it mean that all of the time I'm wanting to please him? No, there are times when I please myself, sadly. But when we see the majesty, the splendor of God, it leads us to want to please him. It leads us to want to please him. And the second thing is that there is going to be a time of reckoning. There is the furnace test and reward. The furnace test and reward. So we should build carefully because of that. And St. Paul writes, he says, if any man builds using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, the fire will test the quality of each man's work. He's talking about, hey, are you going to use quality materials or are you going to use rubbish materials? Listen, if you're building a hut on the seaside, what they call them, a beach hut. It's good to build it well. But actually, it's a transient thing. It isn't here for eternity. What we are building is something for eternity. Something for eternity. So let's build with quality materials. Do you know, quality materials cost. You can't have quality materials on the cheap. Yeah? You just can't. If you're going to build with quality, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you effort. It's easy to carry a bale of straw around. It's much harder to carry precious stones around and gold and silver. It matters. It matters. So let's not waste our life. Hey, youngsters, don't waste your life. You may think, hey, when I get to university. Actually, if you're wasting your life now, you will find you'll be wasting your time then. Because we get into a way of operating. People who waste time are because they're always wasting time. It doesn't just come and go. No, it takes effort not to waste time. Yeah? I look at my lawn sometimes and I think, shall I cut the lawn? And I think, I'll leave it till tomorrow. Or I think, hey, I'll do it today. It might be raining tomorrow. Then I won't be able to do it. And then I'll be frustrated. And listen, do it today. Do your homework when you get it. Do your assignments when you get them. Don't leave them to the last minute. Don't waste your time. And by the way, Digger, Angela hasn't paid me to say all that. Sorry. He's my grandson. I'm teasing him. The third thing is, how should I build carefully? How should I build carefully? And the first thing that I've put down here is, A, when we build carefully, we become part of the church. We become part of the church. You know, church is not a building. Church is family. Church is family. Are you part of the family of the church? Do you know something? When we get to heaven, one of the really good things is that there will never be another rota. Do you know that? It's one of the blessings of heaven. And the difficulty about rotas is we think, well, I mustn't offer to help because so-and-so's on the rota and I will be depriving them of the real joy of doing their job well. And I'll just make myself scarce and get myself a cup of coffee. Actually, that isn't how family should work, is it? That isn't how family should work. You go Christmas Day to the family for a meal, and what do? You say, hey, what can I do to help? Yeah? And family works much better when people say, what can I do to help? You see, the difficulty with rotas is that it brings in the law. And we don't really want to bring in the law. But we ought to be able to say, hey, listen, because of the grace of God, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? Rachel teases me about picking litter. You see, if we are part of the family and we see litter in the drive, we'll think, I'll just pick this up and put it in the bin. We don't think Vic will do it. I don't really want to deprive Vic of picking up the litter. I'd just love to be deprived of picking up the litter. But it's okay. I'll continue picking up the litter. If you spill your coffee, you don't say, oh, someone will clear that up afterwards. But you say, hey, where can I find the materials to clean this up? You see, church is family. This building isn't church. Church is you and me. You can't be church on your own. You can't be church. Church is all of us together. Do you know, and the difficulty about families is that they don't always, everyone, get on. They're squabbles, aren't they? Well, they are in my family. Perhaps that's my fault. But there are squabbles sometimes. But is that going to say, I'm going to leave? No, that isn't what it's about. It's saying, come on, let's sort this out. Let's sort it out. Do you know, one of the worst things I ever have to do is to apologize. And the trouble is that I make many mistakes, and so I have to apologize, and I make more mistakes, and I don't seem to learn very quickly, and I have to apologize. I hate it. But actually, we have to apologize. Do you hear that? Because we are family. It's difficult saying to someone, oh, you know, sorry. I'm sorry. Do you like saying sorry? One person doesn't like saying sorry. Don't know about the rest of you. Church is a family. And, you know, it strikes me, it's quite funny, really. Sometimes even quite sad. We come together on a Sunday as family to meet with our great King, our great big brother, our Heavenly Father. That's what we do on a Sunday. That's what we do. And then I hear, oh, I'm not coming. I'm going to a car boot sale. I'm going to a football match. How sad is that? Come and meet with the King of Kings, with your brothers and your sisters. Or go shopping. Are they on the same scale? Listen, we don't come because we ought, but because we love King Jesus. We love King Jesus. When we go on holiday, we try and find somewhere where we can join in with people who love King Jesus. But that's what we like to do. It isn't because we get another star in heaven, but because Jesus, Jesus is awesome. Jesus is magnificent, isn't he?
Yeah.
Jesus is beautiful. You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he wonderful? Hey, that's who we're talking about. We're talking about our King. Small groups. You know, small group is just a little, small little bit of the church where people can work together, love together, help each other, learn together. That's what a small group is. And that's why the church has small groups. It's part of the church. It's part, yeah? It's nice for us as a family to go away on holiday as we did a couple of Sundays ago, all 27 of us. It was great. But you can't do that every week. And it's nice to have smaller groups. Yeah? So last Sunday, Jeff and Ange invited us to dinner. That was great. Do you know, it's nice, isn't it? Smaller groups. And then there's discipleship. if you've just started on this journey, or if you are a long way down this journey, you and I need someone to disciple us. Someone who asked the slightly awkward questions. Vic, how are you doing about your gambling problem? I haven't got a gambling problem. How are you doing about forgiving? How are you doing? Yeah? How are you doing? That's what discipleship is, to help each other. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. He says, make disciples. If you haven't got someone who's helping you in a discipleship role, I beg you to think about it, to pray about it. And if you think God says no, you're wrong. Listen, God wants us to be disciplers and disciples. We need to be. We need to be. And then diligence. I put down diligence. Yeah? As Christians, we need to be diligent. We need to work hard. We need to not do things, oh, that will do, but to do things well. Diligence means, hey, putting your best into it. And Jesus talked about storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven. He says, don't store stuff here. You've got thieves around. You've got rust. Don't store for yourself here. Store for yourself in heaven. Are you storing for yourself treasure in heaven? Are you storing for yourself treasure in heaven? It is about giving, but it's not only about giving your money. It's about giving everything. Storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven. So if we are building carefully, I want to just sort of finish off by saying to you, it is ever so rewarding. Yeah? You may do all sorts of things and people never notice. Yesterday someone said to me, how is it that every time I go to the loo, I have to fix the next roll of paper? I know the answer to that, and that is the person before you didn't do it. Yeah? Now, if we are part of the family and we see that the paper has run out, we will do something about it. We don't think, oh, bad luck on the next person. That isn't family. Well, it is family sometimes. But family is nitty-gritty stuff. Yeah? Family is seeing that the tea towels need washing and thinking, I must tell. No, it's not I must tell. You just pick them up, take them home, wash them, bring them back. No one may even know about it or notice. Look, don't go telling people. You see, I've spoilt my reward about litter picking because I've told you about it. But I hope I do other things that that God sees and you don't know anything about. Good things, I mean, not the bad things, because he also sees the bad things, doesn't he? God is someone I want to please. Do you want to please him? Listen, this morning, I'm going to invite you to respond. God has spoken to you in all sorts of ways, There's going to be all sorts of people up here to pray for you. They're not going to quiz you and tick you off, but they're going to say, you may never have knelt at the cross, and you want to do that publicly here this morning, great, I'll put it down there so you don't have to climb the stage and do it. You may never have done that, but you want to do it here. You may think, well, I'll do it before I go to bed tonight. Please do it today. Please do it today. God may have spoken to you about your attitude to family. Your attitude to family. Not just your earthly relatives, this family. He may have talked to you about it and saying, come on, you can give more. Family is about what we can give, not what we can get. One of my sons sometimes says to me, come on, Dad, do the good thing. Keel over. He's joking, of course. Well, I hope he is. But listen, it's not about what we get. It's what about what we give. Are we generous in spirit? Carol and Chris were so generous in spirit to us yesterday. So generous. There are lots of things that you could come and say to God this morning, I need help with this. You may think, yes, I do need to volunteer to be a disciple or a discipler. Yeah, that means you're just helping someone along the way. We all need help. We all need people to give us a kick up the backside occasionally. We all need people to say, hey, come on, look. Look at this beautiful carrot. Come on, you donkey. Come on. Come on. Lord Jesus, you are truly, truly magnificent. And it is our deepest longing that we want to please you. Lord, help us, we pray, to please you. Help us to please you. Because we can't do it on our own. Lord, so often we have promised to do something and we found we haven't done it because we lack courage, we lack determination, whatever. We ask you, help us. Help us to build such a beautiful family here that people will say, can I join? Amen.